Alrighty, well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Today is Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. We're going to Ephesians, chapter 1. The more time that we put into gaining an understanding of God's Word and then believing it, the greater impact God's Word will have in our lives. And especially so with the seven church epistles. And again, it's not just knowing what it says in the scriptures or even quoting, but you know, our goal is to believe what God's word says. And one of the things in reading the seven church epistles, it's really enlightening to note what God has already done, accomplished. It's done, past tense. We'll see some of that this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Familiar, right? It's probably not the first time we're ever going to read this verse, but blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not in the future, not at the return, not a maybe he'll bless you with some spiritual blessings, but God has already blessed each one of us with all spiritual blessings. And yes, we've read this verse before, I'm sure most of us, but when we read it, it's nice to just stop, take note, and remind ourselves that yes, God has blessed me. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love actually starts verse 5. God's great plan of redemption for those who would get born again was that we would now be holy and without blame before him. So I read this and I need to remind myself that I am holy and without blame before him. Me? Yes. And we also need to remember that the holiness and the blamelessness that we have now is not because of our good works, because we're so wonderfully wonderful. God made you and me holy and without blame. It's past tense. It's already been done. Then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by your good works. Oh, good. We're in the same Bible. How's that? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We are literally children of God, God Almighty. And God Almighty has accepted us. We are accepted in his eyes. And again, this is not conditional by, you know, from us being good. It's something God has already done. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. See these past tense? It's already been done. We have redemption through his blood, meaning Christ died for us. And what else do we have? The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We've been redeemed, bought, and paid for. We belong to God. We're his. He bought and paid for us. And God has forgiven us. And that forgiveness is not sometime in the future, not a maybe. God does not forgive because we're so sorry we did it. And if we're sorry enough, then God will go, okay, I'll forgive you. God doesn't forgive us because we're so sorry. God doesn't forgive us because we promise to never do it again. God, I will never, ever. Our forgiveness is based on Jesus Christ paying the price for all sins. As a result, we got born again and we have been forgiven. So now I have to believe it. I'm forgiven. Because God does not want his children living their lives with guilt, sin, condemnation, feeling unworthy, feeling lousy for things we've done in the past. He says, I know you did it. Mm-hmm. What does it say in Romans? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know you did it, but I forgive you. All of it. You are forgiven. Let's read a little more. I know we read this not too long ago, but we just read it again. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the administration of the fullness of times he might, well now this is some future stuff here, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. It's all God's idea. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed. Are we sealed?
Yes.
Yes. It's already been done. We're sealed. And if God seals it, nobody's unsealing it. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. There is so much that God has already done for us and in us. And, you know, we've read it before, but, you know, the Bible isn't given. God didn't have the Bible written so that we would read through it once. Well, I've read it. That was a good book. Now I think I'll read another book. You know, we keep reading and reading and gaining more understanding and getting a deeper understanding to the end that we believe it. We absolutely believe it. Let's look at another one, chapter 2, another familiar verse, but so important to note that it's been done and more important to believe it. Verse 18 of chapter 2, for through him we both, talking about Judean believers from a Judean background, Gentile background, doesn't matter. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Access now, not in the future, not at the return, not a maybe you have access if you clean your act up a little bit, you know. Nope. God has already given us access to him. Open and free access to God Almighty. It almost sounds too big, right? It's like, we have access? But you see, if Christians don't know this, if they don't know they have access, they won't take advantage of it, right? And if we don't utilize the access that we have when we need God's advice, when we need God's comfort, when we need God's help, if we don't take advantage of that access, that's not God's fault. The door's open. Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we could find help in time of need, find mercy and help and grace in time of need. The door is open, and he's given each one of us access that's already done. Here's your all access pass. Use it. So I read this and I go, wow, that's neat. I got access to God. It's one thing to read it. That's another thing. You know what? I can quote Ephesians 2:18. Great. But the goal is believe it. And if I believe it, then I'm going to utilize that access. So when it comes to these and other great truths that God's already done, the fight is always going to be between our ears, in our mind. Our old nature. And that's the nature that every person is born with. Our old nature will endeavor to talk us out of all that God has done for us and given us. Thoughts like, you really think you have all spiritual blessings? I mean, really, come on. All of them? Many years ago, when I was working a job, the company got an envelope. And it was a gift check for the holidays, $500. You know, I opened that up, I'm like, wow, Check this out. Pay to the order of. Yep, it's got my name. $500. Woo, this is great. That's exciting. Now, I could have said, ooh, $500. That's a lot. What if they made a mistake? What if it's supposed to be only 50? What if I wasn't even supposed to get it and somebody made an error? What? Gee, I wonder if I should even cash it. Should I talk to somebody? Blah, 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 blah. I didn't. I took it to the bank immediately. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Why don't we do that with God's word? I have access. That's what he said. That's what I have. But that's that old nature. We shouldn't let our old man nature thoughts talk us out of what God's already given us and done for us. Holy and without blame? Me? Oh, I know I can't be holy and without blame. I know I don't lead a perfect life. Okay, what did God say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Holy and without blame, forgiven. Yeah, well, I can understand him forgiving some little things. But that one big thing, forgiven. God didn't qualify. God didn't say he's going to forgive all the little sins. Sin is sin. Forgiven. Access to God. We have it. Go to Ephesians 4. God tells us how to handle this stuff. Because there's a fight. These familiar verses in Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I do that? Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man is who we really are. That's who we really are. In Colossians, it says it's Christ in you. It's another way of describing who we really are. And God says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, there's only one place to do that. Between our ears. Between our ears. All the great realities we read in the seven church epistles that God says are accomplished, all those things that we have been given, all those rights, all those privileges, all those abilities, they will manifest in our lives when we put them on. We put on the new man and believe it. So we endeavor to put those truths on in our mind over and over, over and over. Why do we do that? Because the world we live in and our old man nature will continue to talk us out of it at every turn. So God says, put off the old man thinking. You know something that's really cool to think about is that the more you know what God's word says concerning who you really are, the easier it is to recognize old man thoughts and actions. Right? The more you know who you are in Christ, who this new man is, who you really are in God's eyes, it's much easier to recognize old man thinking and old man actions. Like, wait a minute. That's not who I am. Why am I thinking this? God had the seven church epistles written so that we could not only know but believe what he's done for us and in us. And that's why we keep our heads in the book on a regular basis. Go to Romans 13. We're going to get there in a minute. God expects us to know and believe that we have access to him and that he is at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. God expects, since he's had it written down for us, right? Since it's right there in the book, in black and white or in bytes on a device when we can read the Bible. God expects us to know and believe that we are right now righteous in his eyes. Have you ever had a day where you didn't feel righteous?
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one. Yeah. So on those times when I don't feel righteous, what kind of thinking is that? Old man nature. Yes, but I didn't. Okay. Might have screwed up big time, but didn't change the righteousness that God made me. See, and there's where the battle is. All right, put off the old, put on the new. God expects us to know and believe that the ability to operate all nine of the manifestations of Holy Spirit are available to each and every believer. Every believer. God expects us to know and believe that we are completely and fully redeemed. God expects us to know and believe that we are forgiven and that he's forgiven us all trespasses, all of them. God expects us to know and believe that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, delivered us. God expects us to know and believe that he has made us meet or made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a statement that is. We're qualified. I'm sorry, you don't have the right qualifications for this or that. Well, God has given us the qualification to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All of that and lots more, God expects us to not just know, not just be able to quote it, but believe it, so that our lives will be blessed. God's just trying to give us a lot of extra work to do. You know, you need to pray a lot. You need to read the Bible. I'll keep them busy and they'll stay out of trouble. God wants our lives blessed. God wants us to have joy. God wants us to be, you know, living life and being blessed. And life is hard sometimes. There's a lot of stuff that comes up. But God's word's still true for us. Look at, we're in Romans 13. So this is pretty blunt here in Romans 13. Verse 11. Knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up! Mm-hmm. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night's far spent, the day's at hand. Meaning the time is now for me, for you. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. That's God's word. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What is it to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's to put on that new man, who we really are, righteous in God's eyes, forgiven, access to him, the ability to operate manifestations, to walk as children of light, to walk with great love towards other people. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, a couple more places. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh, we read in Romans. Also in Colossians, if you back up, or I'm sorry, go forward a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. Well, let's start in verse 8. But now, you also, Colossians 3:8, put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Those are all wonderful actions of the old man nature. God said, just put that stuff off. Stop it. That's not who you are. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds. Put it off. If I put all that off, what am I going to do? Well, verse 11. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Where do we get that knowledge? Yeah, from God's word, especially the seven church epistles. This is where we find out who we are, what we have, what God's done, what we can do. God just laid it out for us. You know, it's sort of like the manual for life. Well, I guess I better take the manual out. You know, there's some people that never want to look at the owner's manual. I'll figure this out myself. Then you get stuck and like, all right, let me look it up. Go to 2 Corinthians, where we're going to close this morning. We're going to close in 2 Corinthians 10, but before we go there, look at 2 Corinthians 11, a familiar verse. A lot of reproof in the book of Corinthians, a lot of it. But it's because God loves us, He reproves us, right? Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul didn't want him to get tricked. God didn't want him to get tricked. God had Paul write it. The working translation of this verse is, however, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your thinking processes might be corrupted from the integrity and the purity that is in Christ. You know, God wants us to watch where our thinking is, because our actions will follow our thinking. We're going to close in 2 Corinthians 10, probably familiar verses as well. But it says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And I know sometimes we may hit ourselves in the head. I tell you, why did I do that? But it's not warring after the flesh. The battle, the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare. And it is, it's a battle, it's a fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that interesting that God says that we could even pull down strongholds? Things that maybe have been lodged for a long time that we've not been able to get rid of, not been able to tear it down, whatever it might be. You know, it could be thoughts of self-worth, could be addiction, could be any number of things. Whatever stronghold is keeping us from living the life that God wants us to live, a life of joy, peace, and we can do that by going to war. Going to war. God told us how to do it. Put off the old and put on the new. Yep, I know what God's word says. I've memorized this. I need to believe it. And if God says put it on, then put it on. How much do I need to put on? As much as you need to put it on. Keep putting it. That's why we, you know, that's why we spend time reading the Bible personally, right? And as we look at it, we've got to take it personally. God said this about me. This is who I really am. I don't feel that way. Too bad. It's too bad for you if you don't believe it, but I gotta believe it. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of your own life. God's not responsible for my thinking. God is not going to make me think something. I've got to guard my own heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of my own life. And we looked at a few weeks ago, when we looked at the parable of the sower, and Jesus Christ said, take heed what you hear. And we ought to take heed of what we hear in our heads about ourselves. And if that doesn't line up with God's word, we chuck it out. That's what the renewed mind, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The renewing of the mind is putting on the new man in our hearts and minds. And it's all through the seven church epistles. So we keep reminding ourselves of what God has done for us, what he's done in us, and who we really are. And, you know, it's a process. And the more we do it, the more we grow. And so as we interact with each other, we love one another. And don't expect our brothers and sisters to be perfect. You know, we might be having a great day. I'm righteous, I'm forgiven. And we see our brother and sister are like, what's wrong with him? Well, maybe they need some love. We need way more love than criticism and thinking things about other people. Let's just love people. Let's let our lights shine and believe who we are. Father God, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such great direction. And Father, that we have the knowledge from your word of what to put on in our brains so that we can kick out the old man crap and put on the new man and live our lives for you and be a blessing to others. And Father, also able to let our light shine to people who are looking for you. Thank you for everyone here and on the phone hookup today. Thank you for blessing their lives. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful week of loving you and trusting you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.